The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Chapter 36. The duties of those that have the charge of a family to set up the worship of God in it. The second kind of composed prayer is that which is performed in joint communion with others, and this is double, either private or public. First, family prayer. By a family, I mean a society of certain persons in mutual relation to each other, natural or civil, who live together under the domestic government, a husband, master, or parent. Wherever such a family is, it is the duty of the governor of it to set up the worship of God, and this part of worship in particular, prayer in his family. The Jews had their family sacrifice, Exodus 12:21, which the master of the house performed at home. There still remains a spiritual sacrifice of prayer and thanksgiving, which every master of a family is with his household to offer up to God. The private house is the Christian's chapel of ease, to worship God in daily with his company. The church began in a family, and it is upheld still by the piety of private families. If the nursery be not preserved, the orchard must needs in time decay. But the question will be, how can it be proved that family prayer is a duty? I hope none will require an express place of scriptural commanding this, or else not believe it a duty incumbent upon them. This were the way out only to lose this part of God's worship and other duties also. It will trouble us to find an express word commanding us in plain terms to keep the Christian Sabbath or to baptize our infant children. Yet, God forbid we should, with some, shake off these ordinances upon this account. That which by necessity consequence can be deduced from Scripture is Scripture, as well as that which is laid down in express terms. And if this will content you, which I am sure should, I hope to give you satisfaction. Section 1. That general command for prayer will bring this of family prayer within the compass of our duty. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, if everywhere, then surely in our families, where God hath set us in so near relation to one another. Paul salutes the church in Aquila and Priscilla's house, Romans chapter 16, verse 5. And were they not a strange church who lived together without praying together? Had they deserved so high and honorable a name if they had thus shut God out of doors? This were to call them a church, as a grove is called Lucus Annan Lucido. Then the Jews, when they built them a new house to dwell in, were to dedicate it. Deuteronomy 20, verse 5. In the manner of dedicating their new built houses was with prayer, as you may see by the title of the 30th psalm pinned on this occasion. A psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. This they did first to express their thankfulness to God who had given them an habitation. Indeed, it is no small mercy to have a settled place for our abode, a convenient house for ourselves, and relations peaceably to dwell in. It is more than those precious saints had, Hebrews 11:38, who wandered in dens and caves of the earth. Yea, more than our Savior himself had. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. Secondly, by this they were astonished to acknowledge themselves tenants to God, and that they held their houses of him, their great landlord, upon condition of doing him homage, by making their houses as so many sanctuaries for his worship. Section 2. The trust which governors of families are charged with will evince it is their duty to set up prayer in their families. Every master of a family hath the care of souls upon him. He is prophet, king, and priest in his own house, and from these will appear his duty. First, he is a prophet to teach and instruct his family. Wives are bid to learn at home of their husbands. 1 Corinthians 14:35. Then surely they are to teach them at home. Parents are commanded to instruct their children. Ye shall teach them when thou settest in thy house. Deuteronomy 11:19. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. Now there is a teaching and admonition by prayer to God, and praising of God, as well as in catechizing of them. Colossians 3:16. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. The master's praying with his family will teach them how to pray when by themselves. The confessions he makes, petitions he puts up, and mercy he acknowledges in his family duty are an excellent means to furnish them with matter for their devotion. How comes it to pass that many servants and children, when they come to be themselves head of families, are so unable to be their relations' mouth to God in prayer, but because they have in their minority lived in prayerless families, and were kept in ignorance of this duty, whereby they have neither head nor heart, knowledge nor affections, suitable for such a work. Again, he is a king in his house to rule his family in the fear of God, as the political magistrate's duty is to set up the true worship of God in his kingdom, so he is to do it in his house. He is to say with Joshua, I and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would it be a sin in a prince not to set up the public worship of God in his kingdom, although he served God himself in his palace? Surely, then, it is a sin in the governor of a family not to set up in his house, though he prays himself in his closet. Lastly, he is a priest in his own house, and where there is a priest there must be a sacrifice. And what sacrifice among Christians, but the spiritual sacrifices of prayer and thanksgiving? Thus David went from public ordinances to perform private duty with his family. Then David returned to bless his household, that as saith one upon the place, he returned to worship God in private with them, and to crave a blessing from God upon them. Section 3. The practice of saints in all ages hath been to have a religious care of their families. Good Joshua promised for himself and his house that he would serve the Lord. If he meant the inward worship of God, he promised more than he was able to perform in regard of his family, for he could not thrust grace into their hearts. We must therefore understand him that it should not be his fault if they did not, for he would use all the means in his power to make them. He would set them a holy example and take care that they should not live without the worship of God and his family. We find Elijah praying with his servant, 2 Kings 4:33, master and man together, Queen Esther and her maids keeping a private fast in her family, Esther 4:16. Now, it were uncharitable to think that she was a stranger to the ordinary exercise of this duty, who was so forward to perform the extraordinary, and put others also upon it. Surely this gracious woman did not begin her acquaintance with this duty now, and take it up only in her private strait. That were a gluttonous fast indeed, that should devour the worship of God and her family for all the year after. Cornelius's family religion is upon record. Acts 10:2. A devout man, and one that feareth God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. Mark, he was a devout man and feared God with all his house. Fear is often put for the worship of God. God is called the fear of Isaac, Genesis 30, verse 53. That is, the God whom Isaac worshipped. Him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 36. And ye shall not fear other gods. Verse 37. That is, ye shall not worship or pray unto them. Thus we may conceive Cornelius was a devout man and feared God with his house. Surely he that was so merciful to the poor at his door to refresh their pinched bowls with his alms, could not be so cruel to his relations' souls within his house as to lock up his religion in the closet from them. End of chapter 36.